Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, 19, and 20. Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he says these words. He says in verse 18, starting in verse 18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." The will to do the right thing is present with me. I want to do the right thing. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not." I just can't seem to be able to do what I know is right. I'm having a hard time doing the right thing that I want to do. Verse 19 says, "For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." The good things that I want to do, I can't seem to do it. And the evil things I don't want to do, I end up doing those things. "Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." As I find then a law, there seems to be a battle going on inside of me that when I do good, evil is present with me. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He says, there is part of me inside that wants to do the right thing, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now Paul says these words. He says, "O wretched man that I am, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He says, because I want to do good, but again and again, I keep doing the thing that I don't want to do. And Paul said, it affects the way that I see myself. When I look at myself, I can only see, he says, an old wretched man, "O wretched man that I am." Tonight I want to preach on this theme, and we know the theme for this service is shame and deliverance and freedom from shame. But I want to speak on this title, "Shame Off You." Shame off you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Shame off you." Shame off you. Praise God. Shame off you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that you were in this place. We thank you, Lord, that your word is going to speak to somebody's life today and change them, oh God, by the power of your word. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Shame is a very, very real thing. And I appreciate the wonderful testimonies of Sister Grace and Brother Bill tonight. Shame is a very, very real thing. In fact, in some cultures I've learned, as I've learned more about cultures, is that shame seems a lot more prevalent in some cultures, especially amongst smaller communities where there are families and things like that. But shame is a very deeply painful emotion. We can feel it. It is very deep. It's very painful. One man once said that shame is the swampland of the soul. The swampland. Everybody say the swampland. Shame is the swampland of the soul. And if it is true, and it is true, that the greatest victories are won in the soul, I tell you, you cannot be victorious if your soul is clogged up with shame. You cannot be victorious if your soul is clogged up with shame. The reason why, you may think, "Oh, Pastor, why are we talking about addiction, anxiety, depression? And why on earth are we talking about shame?" And I tell you tonight that the reality is that too many born-again believers are feeling dirty, are feeling worthless, and are feeling ashamed of themselves. And so the reality is that we allow, even born-again believers, we allow shame to overcome us. And when shame overcomes us, we feel unclean, we feel unworthy, we feel like we can't approach God, we feel like we cannot worship God, we are living, and when God is desiring that intimate relationship with us, we always withdraw ourselves and say, "You know what, I can't have a relationship with God because of all these things that are in my life." And when God desires a relationship with us, when God is calling us into intimacy with Him, when God is calling us to walk and talk and to surrender to Him, the worst thing that can happen between us and God is that shame would come in and we would go, as Brother Bill said, we would go into hiding and hide from God. I've heard too many people say, oh, I can't come to church. I can't worship God. Who am I? I'm nothing. I've made mistakes. And you know, the thing that's keeping them from God is their shame. And even born-again believers, we struggle with shame. Paul said it himself. He looked at himself after all the things that he did. He said, there's this constant battle between the flesh and the spirit going on in my life. And Paul said, when I look in the mirror, when I look at all the things I've done, when I look at the people that I've hurt, when I look at the things that I've said, when I think about the thoughts that I've had in my mind, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And so when we allow shame to overcome us, it hinders our relationship with God. You know that feeling of shame, even with people at the workplace or something like that. And you know, we feel ashamed of something that we've done. We don't want to approach them. We don't want to be around them. And the same can happen with God. And when we are born again, we understand, and listen carefully, that Jesus died for our sins. We get that. We say, Jesus died for our sins. Our sins are gone. They've been washed away with the blood of Jesus. But tonight, I've come to take you one step further. I've come to tell you that Jesus didn't just die for your sins, but He also died for your shame. He died for your shame. And since I no longer carry my sins, if my sins have been washed away, and since I no longer carry my sins, then I no longer need to carry the shame of my sins and the shame of my past, the shame of the things that happened in yesteryear. I no longer have to carry it. And so shame is such an important thing. And I come to tell you, shame off you. Shame off you. Jesus, when He died on the cross, He died for our sins, but He also died for our shame. Shame prevents us from intimacy with God. It makes us feel like we have to be distant from Him. Now, there's been two words that are always linked tonight, and that is the word guilt and the word shame. Everybody say guilt. Everybody say shame. Anybody ever felt guilty? Yeah? Now, guilt is different to shame. Guilt is looking at what you've done and feeling shame over what you have done. Guilt is looking at what you've done, but shame is different to guilt. Shame is seeing yourself as the failure. Guilt is not just the feeling of hopelessness because of what you've done, but shame is looking at yourself and seeing yourself as those sins, seeing yourselves as a failure because of what you've done. Guilt makes you feel bad about what you've done, but shame looks at yourself and says, I am a failure because of what I have done. Guilt, another way of saying it, guilt is looking at the sin. Shame is looking at yourself. And if you allow yourself to meditate on guilt, it will turn to shame. And guilt, if we don't properly look after guilt and deal with guilt in our life, guilt can then become a stronghold called shame. And so guilt is that feeling that I did bad. I did the wrong thing. I'm guilty. But shame goes further. Shame is the idea. It's not just that I did this or I did bad. That shame is the idea that I am bad. Guilt says I have done something bad. But shame is an emotion that says I am bad. What do we do? See what happens when we get guilt. And if we let guilt breed, it then becomes shame. And we connect with the what. We connect the what with the who. What we have done becomes who we are. I want to read 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. It will be on the screen for you tonight. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Everybody say imaginations. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And so casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Casting down imaginations. An imagination is an image in your mind that is incorrect. You're just imagining it. It's an image in your mind. It's something that you can see, but it is incorrect. If you see yourself as a failure tonight, if you see yourself as somebody who is a failure, when you are actually a blood-washed child of God, if you see yourself as shameful, when you've been born again, and when your sins have been washed away, if you see yourself carrying the burden of shame for the sins that you've done in your past, when you know that the sins have been washed away, I've come to tell you that that is an imagination that you need to cast down. It's an imagination that you have to cast down. Did anybody see where I'm going tonight? You see, a lot of us struggle with shame. Even some of those that have testified here, the 8 people that have testified over the last 4 weeks, you can see that they have been, God has delivered them from terrible circumstances, from bad things. God has done great things and taken them out. But the reality is, and I'll just be right up front with you, is that even though our sins are washed away, that doesn't mean that we don't carry the shame of our sins. And the shame of our sins, when we have been born again, that shame is just an imagination that needs, as the Bible says, casting down imaginations. See, shame can become a high thing. Shame can exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Shame can come into that word knowledge is the Greek word gnosko, which means intimacy. It's that word to know against the knowledge of God. It's just not a brain knowledge. It's not just a Bible knowledge. That word is intimacy, to know in an intimate way. You see, there are imaginations. Look at the scripture. And there are high things that exalt itself, that interfere with our knowledge and intimacy with God. And shame is one of those things. I've come to tell you tonight that shame is something that the devil would bring against you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And shame is a stronghold. It starts off small. It may start off as a toehold. It then may turn into a foothold. And then it turns into a stronghold. And we've got to cast down that imagination because it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We've got to bring it into captivity through the obedience to Jesus Christ. It's an imagination. Everybody's saying imagination. And that's true. If you have been born again, if you have been baptized in Jesus' name, all those things in your past, they are under the blood. And you say, but Pastor, what happens if I sin after I baptize? The Bible also says, if we confess our sins to God, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our God and to of our sin and to cleanse us, wash it away of all unrighteousness. And so any shame that you are carrying today is a vain imagination. You've got to cast it down. You've got to bring it into captivity. It's just an imagination. And so a lot of people battle shame. Shame is soul crushing. Shame can warp your identity. It can change the way that you see yourself. It's destructive. It destroys our relationship with other people. It destroys our relationship with God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian and I'm doing this. I'm a Christian and I'm still thinking this way. I'm a Christian and I can't forgive. And I know, God, you forgave me. I'm a very bad person. There's no way that I could talk to God. There's no way that I could pray and ask God to forgive me. I'm a horrible person. There's no way that I can go to God. Let me tell you, that is an imagination. Because God says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will take away. I died for your sins, but I also died for your shame. You don't have to carry it anymore. And so maybe the shame that you have tonight in your life is associated with your past. And it's true. We've got people in this church that they would never want anybody to know about their past. And as much as they rejoice that their sins were washed away, every now and then I find them come back in my office. And even after they've been baptized, repented, God has forgiven them. God has forgotten them. As Brother Bill said, that our sin is cast as far from the east to the west. But they come back and they say, Pastor, I still, these thoughts of the things that I've done in the past, they keep coming back to haunt me. And I read this scripture, casting down imaginations. I tell you, it's under the blood. It's forgotten. It's as far as the east from the west. You don't have to carry that shame anymore. You don't have to carry it anymore. So it could be something about your past. People say, Pastor, you know, I'm in this church and I look around and I think if anybody knew my past, I'd have no friends. People wouldn't talk to me. Pastor, if anybody knew, you know, my life before I was saved, I'm sure you wouldn't even allow me to be an usher in the church. You wouldn't allow me to open the door. You see, people become so consumed by their shame. You see, their guilt over their past has now become shame. And this shame is affecting the way that they see themselves. And then they start to put words on their shame. Everybody say words. Things like this. I am defective. I'm a defect. I'm damaged. I'm broken. I'm flawed. I'm dirty. I'm ugly. I'm impure. I'm disgusting. I am unlovable. I am weak. Oh, I am pitiful. I am insignificant. I am worthless. I am unwanted. And Paul said the exact same thing. He looked at the war that was going on between the flesh and the spirit. He said, you know what? He said, it seems like my flesh keeps winning. And he said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. I put to you that Paul, as much as he was full of the Holy Ghost, as much as he was born again, as much as he was an apostle and an evangelist and all those great things, he also struggled with shame. And if Paul struggled with shame, what's going to stop us from struggling with shame? I tell you that God still delivers. God still delivers, even after you're saved. We put a lot of emphasis on somebody getting saved. And that is a wonderful deliverance from sin and bondage and all those things. But how many people know that God still delivers even after we're saved? God delivers us from things even after we are saved. In the book of Exodus, is the second book of the Bible, we read this wonderful story of redemption. The Hebrews were in slavery for 400 years. They worked all day. They were slaves. They had taskmasters. They worked all day by the sweat of their brow. They made bricks. They were treated like animals. They were whipped. They had no control over their future, but they were controlled by the taskmaster of Egypt. 400 years is a lot of generations. How many generations? Let's think. Let's say there's 3 generations every 100 years. 4 times 3 is 12 generations. Well, something like that. Generation after generation, it was all they knew. They were slaves. They were whipped. They were treated like animals. They had no future. They had no hope. You see that young boy? He would have thought about his future. He would have said, I got no future. Here I am. We're in Egypt. We've been here a long time. You see, my dad was a slave. My granddaddy was a slave. My great-granddaddy was a slave. My great-great-granddaddy was a slave. My great-great-great-great-granddaddy was a slave. It's all I know. It's because it becomes this mindset of hopelessness. 400 years, I am worthless, I am nothing, I'm just a slave, I'm not important, my life is not valuable, I am simply a slave. And there they are, the children of God, living in Egypt, living in bondage. Egypt speaks of sin, but Egypt also speaks of bondage. And God heard their cry, and the Bible says that he set them free. He brought them out of Egypt. Those that have been slaves for many years, he brought them out of bondage. He brought them out of slavery, and he brought them out of Egypt. And God said, even though the taskmaster has held you captive, even though the taskmaster has tried to destroy you, even though the taskmaster has broken things in your life, I'm going to redeem you. I am going to set you free because I now have a purpose and a destiny for your life. And maybe that is you tonight, and you're able to testify that God has brought you out, that God has washed away your sins. Once you were a slave to the sin of this world, once you were a slave to the world's way of thinking, but God brought you out. But I'm here to tell you that there is deliverance beyond salvation. Because we know that this mindset had set in. They knew nothing but making bricks. They didn't see a destiny. But I tell you that God brought them out, and this is important for every single one of us. God brought them out of Egypt, not just to bring them out, but he brought them out so that he could bring them in to the promised land. And if God has brought you out of Egypt, if God has delivered you from sin, God hasn't just brought you out for the sake of taking you out of somewhere, but God has brought you out to bring you in. And there was a period of time between the bringing out and the bringing in. There was 40 years in the wilderness. These people who had this mindset of slavery, it was all they knew. And God says, I'm going to take you. I've got a plan for your life. And the plan of God was that they can be free from the bondage of sin, that their sins could be forgiven. But not just that, God wanted to bring them in to the promised land. And so God didn't take them directly out of Egypt, and he didn't just jump them straight into the promised land. Wouldn't we like that? Wouldn't we like it that we could just get saved and Jesus comes back and we're in heaven? Well, maybe not, but maybe. Even though we were no longer slaves, these people who were, that's all they had known for 400 years, they still had the mind of a slave. It was all they knew. Even though they were free on the outside, there was something still on the inside where they were still slaves on the inside. And just because God has set you free and you have been born again, it doesn't mean that your mind is completely changed immediately. You see, they had been born out of Egypt, but now God was interested in getting Egypt out of them. God was wanting to change their mindset. You see, they weren't ready to walk into the promised land until they learned to deal with their shame of their past. Until they learned to cast down those imaginations. Until they were ready for a mind change, a mindset change. And there are still mentalities that linger in our mind. And you can testify that tonight. There's still mentalities that linger in our spirit that keep us in bondage to failures and faults and stumbles and weaknesses of the past. But God says, what happened at an altar 20 years ago? Let me tell you, when you were born again, it was just the beginning. It's not the end of the story. I am going to deliver those that I have saved. And you may be here tonight and you've struggled for a long time thinking, why am I dealing with this shame? I've been born again. I'm a child of God. God brought me out miraculously out of Egypt. Why am I dealing with this shame? I tell you, don't get down on yourself because you've messed up. God can deliver someone immediately from an addiction. Some people struggle for a long time because they've been a slave to that thing for so long. But God wants to deliver you after he saved you. And so there they are. We aren't just saved overnight, but I may take some time to be delivered. I tell you, don't quit. If you've got shame in your life, I tell you that God wants to deal with that shame. You don't have to walk your life. You don't have to live your life bearing the burdens of shame any longer. You don't have to look in the mirror at yourself, remembering all the things that you've done and your failures and the things you've said and all those shameful things that you've done, and look at yourself and say, oh, I'm just a failure. I'm nothing. Look where I've come from. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, turn there in your Bibles if you've got them there. I hope you do. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, we read this beautiful scripture, and I kind of focused it on it already. But Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6 says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. Everybody say out. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I will bring you out and I will rid you of their bondage. I will bring you out and I will rid you of their bondage. I will bring you out and I will rid you of the shame. I will rid you of the mindset. And you see, God delivers us even after we have been saved. And the Jewish people believed that there were two promises in this scripture, the bringing out and the bringing in. But not just the bringing out, that God would also release us from the mentality of slavery, that mindset of bondage. Come to tell somebody today, Jesus didn't just find you on the junk heap and just stop you from being destroyed. I like to think of our salvation and God's onward continuing work in our lives. We think, you know what? I was on the junk heap of life and God came and found me and he took me off the junk heap. Yes, correct. God took you off the junk heap. But what's God going to do now? He took me off the junk heap. We rejoice. We say, once I was lost, now I am found. I was on the junk heap, but God found me. He took me off. But I tell you, God loves you too much to just leave you the way that he found you. God loves you too much to leave you in the state that he found you. He loves you too much to just take you off the junk heap and just set you aside. But God wants to restore you. God wants to renew you. God wants to make you new. He wants to change your mentality. He wants to take the shame away. You can have freedom from shame. You see, the world says shame on you, but I've come to tell you that God says shame off you. You don't have to carry the burden of shame anymore. You don't have to look in the mirror like Paul and say, oh, wretched man that I am. I've come to tell you that Jesus didn't just die for our sins. He also died for our shame. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. We've got hope tonight. We've got hope tonight. At a farmer's market in a little village, there was a convoy of quail walking in circles around a pole. Each of these quails had strings attached to their legs. And they continued to walk around the pole hour after hour, these little quails walking around the pole with a string attached to their leg. A man came to the market one day and he asked, he said, how much will you take if I can take, how much if I take all of the quails? How much do I have to pay to take them all? And the owner looked at him and they agreed upon a price. And so the man went over to the quail and he took his little pocket knife and he cut the string on each of the quail's legs. And the owner looked at him. He said, what are you doing? The quail had been walking for hours and hours around the pole with a little string attached to their leg. The man buys them. He goes up and he cuts the string off their leg. And the owner says, what are you doing? He said, I'm setting them free. Said the new owner. He said, I'm setting them free. And so what did the quail do? In spite of the strings being cut, giving the quail their freedom, they continued, because that's all they knew. They continued to walk around the pole. They continued to walk in the same old circle. You see, they didn't even realize that they were free and they could go in a different location. I've come to tell you today that he that the Son has set free is free indeed. No more shame, no more guilt. If Jesus has set you free, you are indeed, not just free. You see, I preached that before, and some people say, well, Pastor, we live in a free country. I'm free. No, but freedom is different to being free indeed. We are free indeed. And so the reality is, a lot of us, we're like those quails. The devil's had that string tied around our leg for so long. And even after Jesus has delivered us, we keep walking around the same old pole. Not until the man began to shoo them away. And maybe I'm here tonight and I'm shooing you away. The owner walks up to the quail. He says, come on, you're free. Go, go, go. Run for your life. Get out of here, you little quail. And this silly old preacher here tonight is coming up and saying, shoo. Get out. You're free indeed. You're no longer bound to this pole. You no longer have to walk this circuit anymore. Come on, go. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. You don't have to carry the shame. You don't have to carry the shame. And that is good news for somebody tonight. Because somebody here has been burdened and overcome with shame. You are free indeed. If the musicians could come, Isaiah 54 verse 4 says, fear not. Fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Sister Grace already read that tonight. Why is it that if you're a follower of Jesus that we can be completely free from our shame? Look at this. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and to purify us. Everybody say pure. To purify us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things
become new. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says that God separates as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now therefore, let's read it together. There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Bottom line tonight, you're still believing that you are something that God says you're not. God says you're free indeed. God says, I died for your shame. If you're still believing that you're something that you're not, then you got to start thinking the way Jesus thinks about you. Lord Jesus, help me to see myself as the way you see me. And see, whenever you're focused on yourself, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short again and again and again. Because if you think something bad about yourself, if you think something bad about yourself, it might actually be partially true. But if you think, well, I'm a bad person, well, can I just say respectfully to you today, then you probably are a bad person, the way you think. But if you take the focus off yourself and see yourself the way God sees you, you see yourself that I am forgiven, I am healed. If you see yourself the way God sees you, you see the fact that you are new, that you are loved, that Jesus is more than enough for you. You see, you don't have to live with your shame. The only way to heal from shame is to move the focus from what I'm not to who Jesus is. You see, that is grace. When we've done everything that we can do, when we've taken every step and we've tried to reach that mark, every single time in our own strength, we're going to fall short. We're going to fall short. We're going to fall short. And you know what grace says? Grace says you fall short and grace just takes that big step for us. Are you thankful for His grace? I want to see myself the way God sees me. It's not about me. It's about who Jesus is. I am forgiven. I am healed. I am new. I am loved. And Jesus is more than enough for me. Get behind me, Satan. You're going to come with me with all that shame, with all that guilt. Get behind me, Satan. I choose to see myself the way my Savior sees me. Joshua 5 verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, everybody say today, this day, not tomorrow, not after 3 years of counseling, this day, weigh the reproach of Egypt from off you, shame off you. Reproach, I have rolled away the shame of Egypt off you, shame off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal. So somebody here may have had someone say to you, shame on you, shame on you. But God says, I've rolled it off you, shame off you. Yes, shame was on you, shame was on you, but God in His power, but God in His grace, but God in His goodness today, not later, today we can say, shame off me, because God has set me free. Let's stand in this place tonight. You are not who you think you are. You are not what others say about you. You are not, listen, you are not what somebody did to you. You are not who you think you are. Well, then who are I? Who am I? I tell you today, you are who Jesus says you are. And if we're going to get into God's destiny for our life and our purpose is to be unlocked, if God's purpose is to be unlocked in our life, we need to be delivered from shame. Because shame is that murky swamp of the soul. And if victories are won in the soul, we cannot get victory if our soul is clogged up with shame. Shame may define my past, but it doesn't have to define my future. Shame is a feeling, and I'm here to remind you that we are not to live our life by feelings, but we are to live our life by shame. Somebody needs to hear God's word today and hear these words, shame off you. God, He died for your shame. And so tonight, whoever you are, Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. The sins, the guilt, the shame. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so I pray you get a revelation tonight of what Jesus has done for you. Let's lift our hands all across this place. Somebody here tonight, God is speaking to your heart.
God has labored in speaking to your heart even during this worship service. God has been speaking. God has been prodding. God has been calling you tonight. And you're the one that God is speaking to that is struggling under the shame of their past. How can I be what God has called me to be when all these things that I have done? How can I be what God has called me to be when I can't even defeat my flesh? I keep giving in to the flesh all the time. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I've come to tell you that Jesus has come to set you free. Cast down that imagination. It's an imagination. It's not even there. It's incorrect. You don't have to carry the shame. It doesn't identify who you are. What you did in the past doesn't change who you are today. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. This altar is open. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to draw close to Him tonight. And if God is speaking to you, if God has spoken to you, you need to find your place at this altar for a few moments as we seek God's face, that God will do a work in our lives. Humble yourself tonight. Bow your knee at this altar and say, God, I need you to cleanse me of the shame of my past. God, I don't want to carry it anymore. Somebody needs to come to this altar and lay their burden down. Lay their burden down and leave this place set free. We love you, Jesus.